Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, happy Wednesday. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Boy, be careful out there. Mary, I've been listening to your reports, driving in and everything. Parking, it was a skating rink, just like the luge out there, basically. I-80, terrible. I know you just did the full report, but be careful out there.
I haven't seen this in a long time. Freezing drizzles going on, too, so.
It's just been such a weird weather week. You know, 50s, and then it's beautiful. You can wash the cars in the driveway, and then there's black ice today. So, yeah, welcome to Chicago.
It's January.
That's the story we're going to be following all day. Well, let's get the top 6 to 6 locked and loaded.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
All right. The Illinois Democratic candidates for governor squaring off last night. Steve, I don't know if you saw any of this, but the strangest thing that I saw during this debate, J.B. Pritzker and State Senator Dan Biss starting this rivalry.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Are those going to be the two that are the first and second candidates in the fight going forward?
I would think so. I would have thought it would have been Pritzker and Kennedy, and yesterday just Biss and Pritzker going back and forth. They clearly emerged as rivals, I think, anyway. Bob Daber, Alex Paterakis, and Teo Hardeman are the other three running for governor. But I was just surprised. They're arguing about taxes, of course, and pension funds. But Biss, surprisingly, $3.5 million. He's second in the money race. Pritzker is in the lead, of course, with, want to guess? How much are in his campaign coffers?
I won't even guess. It's probably a lot.
$28 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Biss, not a close second, 3.5. Kennedy with 2.8. And Daber is actually in fourth with $79,000. So that gives you an idea how it's shaping up. But again, it just blew my mind that these two were kind of the two clashing last night.
They say this is going to be the most expensive race for governor ever.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. And figure if Pritzker is the candidate, or even Kennedy at this point, or Biss now with 3.5 scoring off against Bruce Rauner.
Yeah.
Boy.
Wow, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. March 8th is the primary. Get out there. March 20th, rather. February 8th, the early voting begins. So get out there and vote. Let's get to number two. All right, let's segue to the Democrats trying to replace Lisa Madigan. They're going to face off in a forum as well. And I just said to Mary Sandberg, this race is just fascinating to me. We have 2, 4, 6. We have 8 candidates running for attorney general on the Democratic side, 2 on the Republican side. But these are big names. Kwame Raoul, Pat Quinn, Sharon Fairley, Jesse Ruiz. You know, these are names. It's not just people who aren't heard of in the political spectrum. So that's going to be interesting, too, Steve.
It is. And there's a lot of good talent and experience. I think, what is it, Renato, what's his last name?
Mariotti.
Mariotti. He brings a lot of experience to the race as well. So it's going to be interesting going forward.
Yeah, Scott Drury, Nancy Rotering, as you mentioned, Renato Mariotti, and Aaron Goldstein round out the 8 candidates on the Democratic side running for Attorney General. Republicans, Erica Harold and Joseph McMahon. So keep your eyes on that for them today. We move on to another sad story. Another high school has turned into a scene of carnage, this time in western Kentucky. 16 to 17 people were wounded, 2 fatally. This after a shooter opened fire yesterday morning at the Marshall County High School. 4 others were injured as well. This is a 15-year-old student, a male, arrested at that scene, will be charged with murder and attempted murder. And now we're learning more about the victims as their identities come forward, too. This suspect was armed with a handgun, walked into the school just before 9 o'clock and started shooting, and the first 911 call was received about a minute later. Just another sad testament, another school shooting. Ryan Burrow is actually there covering it for ABC News and for us, so we'll try to check in with him a little bit later on this morning. Senator Chuck Schumer, this was an interesting one too, Steve. Schumer has withdrawn the Trump wall offer. The Republicans who are aligned with Trump are unlikely to go for any bill that doesn't include a major boost in funding for that border wall.
And Trump has responded in kind by saying there will be no deal without the wall on Twitter. So there's like that war going back and forth now. It's not surprising that Schumer pulled that back because, hey, when you make a proposal on, and you're at the bargaining table, it's only good while you're doing the bargaining, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not surprising at all. And now, remember what we said yesterday? Okay, government not shut down. Everyone goes back to work yesterday or on Tuesday. And now we have to wait till February 8th. Now I think it's going to be an even bigger showdown. I would even expect the government showdown to last longer than that, don't you? Yeah,
and I would not, if I were betting right now, I'd bet that we'd have another government shutdown.
I am right there with you, unfortunately. All right, let's do it. Let's end on a happy note. Senator Tammy Duckworth, our senator, is about to make history. She's going to be the first U.S. senator to give birth while in office. How cool is that?
It's surprising that she's going to be the first, isn't it, a little bit? But congratulations to her. I mean, this is going to be great.
Well, a lot of them have had kids, I guess,
yeah.
But not while they've been there.
Not while in office, yeah. So she already has a little girl, Abigail. Now, her daughter was born in 2014. What's interesting, too, is at that time, Tammy Duckworth was 47 years old. Now she's 51. So we wish her the best and, you know, hope everything goes smoothly. And you know what, though? It's very cool that she's going to make history, but, oh, my gosh, it's 2018.
Right.
Does that show how few female senators that we have?
It does make a statement, doesn't it? And I think when she was in the House, I think she was also part of a record when she was in the House as one of the few female House members to have a baby while she was in the House.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. So hopefully, you know, again, we wish Tammy Duckworth well and births in Congress. There's an interesting front page story on the Sun-Times about this today if you want to read all the different births. And these are women who gave birth while serving in Congress. I'm not going to read them all, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Kirsten Gillibrand being the most recent. But again, 2018, come on.
Yeah,
who's
really?
Women?
I mean, you can give birth for many years now, you know, like, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
Where are these senators?
All right, so that is the, is that it? Am I done? We have one more?
Who's counting?
Wait, what is it? Come back out here, Mary.
You said you wanted to end on a happy note.
I did.
That was a happy note.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Okay. Mary found this story. This is awesome. Did you guys see? Oh, you know what's so funny? The ADD that kicks in, my ADD anyway. We have this whole conversation about the Olympics are coming up, mm-hmm. and we're all big Olympics geeks. Can't wait for the Olympics
so
to start.
Excited.
So Ralph Lauren displayed the new Olympic uniforms or the costumes. I don't want to say costumes, but the uniforms that the USA team is going to be wearing when they're walking in. So I don't know if you guys saw the jackets. Super cool. Red, white, and blue. Very big parkas. They have cool sweaters that look like ugly Christmas sweaters, but they're not because they're cool looking. Jeans with some rips because that's the trend. Mm-hmm. Cool boots. And what's getting the most slack are the gloves. They're wearing these cowboy type gloves. I've heard them described like out of Brokeback Mountain, mm-hmm. Wild Wild West, but they're kind of a brownish color, like suede.
They're like workman's gloves.
I was going to say they're workers' gloves.
They say
yeah.
USA, but there's fringe that's hanging down. I think they look really, really cool.
You do?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, remember the uniforms they had when they were in, what was it, Utah? When Salt Lake City? They had sort of a cowboy theme, I think, then, which was kind of cool. That's what this reminds me of.
I think you're right, Steve. Yeah, because they wore cowboy hats then.
Yeah.
These are just winter knit caps that say USA. I actually bought one last night.
I want one of these jackets.
Those are
these
cute.
Are cool
I love
jackets.
The jackets.
They're cool. Yeah, they're on. Oh, the jackets are crazy expensive. I want to say they're about $1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're crazy expensive. You could probably find them on Amazon for a lot left, or on eBay, rather. But they're kind of cool. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about the gloves.
Well, there won't be much texting going on with those gloves.
Yeah, exactly right.
they'll be ready for those.
Cow wrangling.
They're huge.
Right. Woo-woo, go USA. So Top 6 at 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend.
Joe and his jug band.
Taking it downtown every night. I could never place a star that night. But got my hands.
He used to play in a bar in New Orleans. Who is this, Joe?
This is Trampled by Turtles.
And Trampled by Turtles is who?
A band. I'm not really sure what he means.
Where'd you find them? Are they? This is a hit?
I haven't had a disc jockey in a long time. Is it?
Yeah, it's a few years old. I'm not sure how popular it
is. Wasn't it a hit?
Good enough for me to play here.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Trampled by Turtles. Let's go live to the Trampled by Turtles fan club where Mary Sandberg is standing by.
I do like this music. And our millennial upstairs, Bennett Wake Knight, the morning bell producer.
This is it. Bennett made
Joe play
opening
bell producer. When Joe just started that bump, the first few seconds, Bennett chimed in. Down, he said, oh, my God, great song. So,
what was a Clooney movie where he escaped from prison with his two idiot friends?
Oh, Brother, We're Out There. Yeah.
It's like an Old Brother, We're Out There thing.
It does sound like that.
The Soggy Bottom Boys.
That's it.
So, Trampled by Turtles, what are they doing now? They got a concert coming up or anything?
No. Well,
no, I mean anywhere.
Oh, anywhere? Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. They're probably playing a local bar.
Where are they from?
That I don't know. I just know the team.
I'm not going on with this show until you get me some Trampled by Turtles.
I know. I'll have to get you some more information.
They're from Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay. Well,
you love Minnesota?
Yeah.
I love Minnesota.
I don't love it anymore.
Bluegrass folk rock band from Duluth. Their inspirations are Bob Dylan, Neil Young, The Rolling Stones, and Nirvana.
Those are good inspirations. Right.
Strangely enough, their website is, they have an owl as their picture on their front page.
Do you think it'd be a squished turtle?
I would think so, right?
Oh, it'd be squished. I guess the turtles are doing the trampling.
At least there would be some turtle somewhere there.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Andy, with your photography, maybe you could go out and take a picture of turtles trampling things.
I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah.
You know Andy's a photographer?
I know. He takes great pictures.
What's your
beautiful
website?
Oh, that would be andymazerphoto.com.
Maybe change it to Trampled by Turtles.
TrampledByTurtles.com.
Traffic there. All right. Thank you, Sandberg. That was a good update.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Joe, stop listening to Bennett when he tells you to play music. It's 626. Mary Sandberg is in the traffic. Mary Sandberg. Mary Vandeveld's in the traffic situation. One of you got to change your name because I'm not that smart.
How's your first?
So I would say second worst commute for half of the commute that I've seen in years. Coming in from the west, 88 from 59 to Highland Avenue looked like a war zone. Cars spun out, cars into the wall, 355 looked like a hospital zone. I mean, I hope nobody got hurt because there was literally an accident every eighth of a mile.
Oh, man. And there still is. So,
and 294 South is closed, or is that open again?
Nope, 294 is still shut down at 55 South and northbound at the Hinsdale Oasis.
The weirdest thing is this would be a Skilling dream if he were up at this hour, because it looks like...
He probably is up at this hour.
It looks like there's a line at about North Avenue that separates the ice from no ice. And then, of course, the problem is you're playing catch-up after that on whatever your commute is this morning. But about North Avenue, the temperature, I guess, is a couple degrees warmer, and it's making the difference. But it is very, you know, I don't hype these things because everybody else does. But I mean, it's an ice rink.
No, it's bad.
West of North Avenue,
and I'd say south of the Eisenhower.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, so 294, 355, 80. 88.
57 is bad. 55 is awful.
Yeah, 55.
And 65 in Indiana. Bunch of accidents have been reported around Crown Point.
Just stay home.
So it's bad as well.
Yeah, and it's just all
stay
ice.
Stay home. Take a nice day.
It's not snow. It's not rain. I mean, there's a little...
It's freezing drizzle.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I think some of that was the bigger problem overnight, and they just haven't had a chance to catch up. It's kind of snuck up on people, right?
Yep. The frizzle. The frizzle got us. Black ice.
Well, you know, you should have heard me. I was saying shizzle and
shizzle
all the way
right
in.
Oh, God.
So add about a week to your commute time this morning. I have tickets to Short Shakespeare. It's a Midsummer Night's Dream playing Saturdays from February 3rd through March 10th at the Yard at Chicago Shakespeare on Navy Pier. Experience the romance, the magic, the hilarity of the Bard's beloved comedy, all in 70 minutes. You know, Andy, I don't know if you know this, but Shakespeare, in his day, these festivals would be 2 and 3 days long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one Shakespeare work, one Shakespearean work would be several hours.
Okay.
And part of the reason is, if you left your house and you got in your wagon,
mm-hmm.
you know, or walked or however you got there, you know, you weren't going back anytime soon. No. So if you're going to make the effort to get somewhere to
make
see
an event.
A Shakespeare festival... Yeah. You know, you're going to be there a while, so you're not turning around and going home in 2 hours.
To be or not to be.
That's what always was so weird to me. When you see these movies, you know, back in the day, and either they're horseback or whatnot, they have like a little blanket or something, and that's it. I'm like, where are their clothes? Where do they put their shoes? I know they didn't have makeup back then, but where do you put everything?
In the covered wagon.
What about the... Put the makeup's in the back of the covered leg?
Sure, why not?
I mean, don't even start me on the hairbrushes.
Oh,
and
my God.
Curling irons, you know.
Yeah.
Where do you plug them in?
Exactly.
You get tickets for this Shakespeare short at chicagoshakes.com. We have a pair of tickets available. Seventh caller for Joe and Sandberg. Just recite your favorite line from Shakespeare. Just entertain them. Seventh caller wins these tickets. Again, it's chicagoshakes.com. Karen Conti's coming up. Jordan Goodman's coming up. I'm going to try to help you a little bit this morning one, two, three different ways. Here's how we're going to do that. Karen Conti's going to answer some basic legal questions. Dr. Most is going to talk about trust between doctors and patients, because this nightmare, this Jerry Sandusky of Michigan State, Dr. Nassar, has created a mammoth problem that could go on forever and ever and ever. And we were talking about this off the air yesterday, and part of the problem appears to be, and I think Sandberg's right about this, gymnastics and little girls were not taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, including, and this is disappointing too, this is a female head coach of the gymnastics team who didn't take her own kids seriously on the team. So this Dr. Nassar could have been shut down 20 years ago, mm-hmm. longer. I think it was 97 maybe when the first complaint was brought up. And since that first complaint was ignored and written off as a medical procedure that the kids didn't understand because they don't understand their bodies, this guy was able to continue to be a predator, mm-hmm. and an animal for all those years. It was a really emotional moment in court yesterday, which I think, Steve, you may have already covered in sound on the news, but one of the young women who was assaulted, 18 years old, demanded an apology from the courtroom yesterday, and she got it. But these kids are going to have issues. These kids and young women are going to have issues forever.
The victim impact statements that we've been watching from last week too are gut wrenching. And we talked about the little girl, well, now young woman, who said at the time she thought she did something wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it just made
breaks your heart.
Oh.
And Dr. Most will be on to talk about doctor-patient trust and things like, what age is it? Are you comfortable having your child go in for an examination? Now, let's be clear on this. This Dr. Nassar, thank God, is the one in a million, one in 10 million, one in whatever. So doctors aren't predators. But there is a measure of trust that has to go on between a doctor and a patient, or in this case, patient's parents. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Dr. Most. And then Jordan Goodman's going to be on to talk about money. So the law, the money, and the medical all coming up. Headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Just to reinforce what Mary Vandeveld just said, and I can only speak for the Western burbs, as bad as I've seen it in 10 years is in your black eye situation. So I would suggest you don't try to go to work at all this morning from that area, or possibly, move. Though that's going to be tougher to get together that quickly. Mary, there was I filled in for Spike, I don't know, maybe 2005. And I got up one morning and the temperature had changed overnight to a point where it was ice from the moment I left my house to the radio station, to the point where I've got kind of a sloped driveway. And as I backed out of the driveway, I gently slid down the driveway into the street. Now, this is 4 o'clock in the morning. And then as I drove away, I was going 4, 5, 6, 7 miles an hour. When I get to the end of my street, there's a stop sign. And I couldn't stop at the stop sign, and I slid through the stop sign up over the sidewalk into the yard of somebody. Like, my front wheels were over the sidewalk.
Oh, my.
And yet I kept driving to work.
Oh, no. Hmm. And how long did it take you?
3 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So you missed the whole
missed your show?
Shift.
Well, Noonan was doing the overnight show, filling in for, I guess, Steve and Johnny at that point. I got here at 8 o'clock.
Oh, my
God. It was like
God.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Gosh. Why didn't you just turn around?
Bye-bye.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, so don't even attempt that.
So dedicated.
But my point is today, for that, you know, for those people who are west and south of what would it be, Mary? 88.
Well, it looks like it's pretty much the Eisenhower. Everybody that's south of the Eisenhower and that area, and then.
And 88 westbound, like 88 westbound, you get to Highland, and there's one of the few hills you'll find in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it's just this gentle slope, and people just have no idea what they're getting into. So they're cruising along, and they get there, and it's over. And there's cars into the concrete, you know, wall in the center, and spinning out all over the place. And then 355 north and 294 south. And you said Indiana's a mess?
Yeah, west of 355. Also, I-65 is a big mess, especially like by the Crown Point area. And from 61st to US 30, that's a mess. Indiana police are reporting numerous accidents there as well. So it's just to the south and to the west pretty much at this point. And it's unusual because everybody to the north usually gets it. Like they got it earlier this week. The north and northwest suburbs yesterday, there were so many accidents there. Now it's all south and west with black ice.
And I-82, right? By Joliet, Will County.
I-80.
New Lenox, Romeoville. Yeah.
Yeah, Will County especially.
Wow. Joliet.
55, 57,
it's
I-80.
Ugh.
So I guess from now on, I'll just pick people up on the way in. Because I don't mind
so
driving.
Selfless.
And you guys can just call me.
There you go.
So
where are you now, Steve?
Yeah, I'll be there. Stand outside!
Boy.
Sometimes you can't slow down enough to pick people up, so I just open the door as I slide by, and you got to run and jump in, time it.
You jump in the white lightning.
We have a winner for those Shakespeare tickets before I talk to Karen County here. Joe, we got a winner for the Shakespeare tickets. Mike from Carroll Stream.
What was his favorite Shakespeare quote?
And did he do a Shakespeare line for you, Joe? Joe, feel free to turn your microphone on. Can't hear you guys.
One more.
Still there.
There you go.
First day?
He said the Horatio thing.
All right. The Horatio
what
thing.
What is the Horatio thing?
What is it? What's the Horatio thing? I don't know what that is.
I think Horatio, da-da-da-da.
Oh, I remember that. Remember Shakespeare's da-da-da-da, Horatio?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, da-da-da-da-da, Horatio.
I'm not well-versed in Shakespeare, so.
No. Listen, obviously I can't pull the line, so.
But he opened with it.
Da-da-da-da-da, Horatio.
Horatio, Karen Conti.
The first seventh caller though thought we were giving away Bulls tickets, so I moved on from
here. I get Bulls tickets out of a Shakespeare plug.
No. They're both tragedies.
Actually, the Bulls aren't so much anymore.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to find something.
Yeah, we have any thread possible.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
From home, by the way. You found the Shakespeare passage?
Oh, yeah, let me bring
did
it
you give it up?
Up?
No, don't worry.
Okay,
no worries.
I do have
if
it.
If you need Andrea to do Shakespeare's Horatio at any time, just call her on her cell phone.
No, I
all
like
right, let me
Mary,
go to Karen Conti.
I like Mary's version better.
Horatio! Karen Conti's with us. How did your new show go?
It went great. And can I share with you my favorite Shakespeare line
please.
Of all time?
Please.
The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. Henry the Sixth.
Wow.
You know, honestly, the only thing more prevalent than porn on the internet is lawyer jokes. If you Google lawyer jokes, you get 50 million pages of lawyer jokes. So.
Well, and frankly, that line is misunderstood because what they're saying is if we want chaos and tyranny, then we kill all the lawyers. A lot of people saw that as a negative and a derogatory comment, but it really was a positive one.
Oh, you ruined the fun for us. You know, again, the Karen Conti Show, Sunday nights at what time?
From 7 to 9. Right. It's a lot of fun having your own show. It's a lot of work, too.
And you sound great, Karen.
Well, congratulations on that. And now you get to see the coal mine that we work in every day preparing for these things. All right. So I hesitate to use the word doctor because it is presumes some professionalism. This Jerry Sandusky like pervert pedophile at Michigan State that exploited these little girls on the gymnastics team. Is going to go to jail for the rest of his life, and he should. And the horrible things that will happen to him in prison, he's deserved. But in the meantime, these kids have to put their and young women have to put their lives back together. From a legal standpoint, the sentencing will come when? Is it today?
it's going to be soon. I think we're at the end of all of the testimony. I mean, there have been days of it. And the judge has been very vocal. I don't know if anyone has saw what she said yesterday and the day before, but she, you know, most judges are going to be very, very neutral and unbiased, and they're going to let things happen. They're not going to comment on them. And then at the end, they give a sentence, and then they wallop them, and they say all the bad things about what he did to the girls and what he deserves. But she's doing it right now. And frankly, it's just a little bit inappropriate. I get it. This guy's a scumbag. I get it. This guy is crying crocodile tears. If you listen to 5 minutes of the testimony, you'll, you know, you're forever changed when you hear what this guy did. But the judge needs to maintain her neutrality, and she hasn't really done that. But she's going to sentence him, Steve. It's going to be over 100 years. The guy will never see the light of day.
So here's the thing that I'm curious about. We always talk about you deserve your day in court. The accused, you know, justice will be served, and the accused gets their day in court. Maybe this is too much of a big picture question, but does the victim deserve their day in court? Because a lot of this is about closure. We know this guy's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, but we still need to go through the formality of the trial and the sentence. And for some folks, I suppose, when you're going through this, I go, why can't we just cut to the sentence on this?
Well, it's a good question. And I think what we have to understand is that when there's a criminal case, it's the state against the defendant. It's not the victims. It's not a civil lawsuit where you have victims versus defendant. It's the state of Michigan versus. So the interest of the prosecutor is to prosecute the crimes that were perpetrated against the state. Now, do the victims have rights? Yes. And more in modern legal jurisprudence, the victims have a real big play in these kinds of things. However, you know, they don't have the say as to whether crimes get prosecuted or not. In this case, there was a specific plea that he would plead guilty, but in exchange, he would allow, his lawyer would allow these victims to come forward, all of them that wanted to. And in this case, it's just the most I've ever seen in my life. And it's on television, and it's compelling. And I think the purpose for the prosecutor is to say, you know, let this see the light of day. How did this happen? How did these girls have this happen to them and their voices weren't heard? It's awareness, it's publicity, and it's a good thing for people to know.
Karen, the sentencing guidelines, because there are so many victims and it's gut-wrenching to watch some of these girls reading their statements, and especially the one I said to Steve earlier where she's blaming herself, so it's harrowing to watch. But do the sentencing guidelines provide for a sentence per victim, or does it matter if it's one victim or 90 victims?
No, it's in the state courts, the sentencing guidelines are much less severe than they are in federal court. So, for instance, he was already sentenced in federal court for child pornography, and he got 60 years. And those are very regimented. But in state, the judge has a lot of discretion, and there's no specific way to do it. There is a thought that they're asking for a year for every victim. So, but that's not written in stone. The judge has mass discretion here. And she's going to wallop him, there's no question, probably to the biggest extent she can.
We got three different categories of helping folks today, the medicine and the money and the law. So let me throw a couple of generic legal questions at you that you deal with every day.
Sure.
Family issues. Divorce is, I assume, the one that comes up most often. Can you go back and amend a divorce decree let's say I didn't hire you and I went through a divorce without you as my lawyer? Can I go and hire you after the divorce decree has been, you know, finalized and issued to update it?
No. I mean, there's certain things that are amendable. Anything relating to the children, like parenting time, you know, money for the children, child support, those can all be amended if things change later. But you can't go back and say, I didn't have a lawyer, I didn't know what I was doing, I don't like the result. That you can't do, because once a judgment is final, it's final. But if things change in the future when it comes to the children, not property, not money, not maintenance or alimony or any of those things, but when it comes to the children, yes, you can change it prospectively.
This question in particular from a listener comes under the general heading of they got fired and they don't have any money anymore, so how am I supposed to pay the support to my ex?
Well, that's something where you need to go into court and file a motion to stay your child support obligations, okay, or reduce them. And if you don't do that, your obligations continue because you're under an order to do that. Some judges will say, well, I'm going to reduce your child support obligations until you find a job. Some judges will say, if you can't pay it, fine, but you're going to have to pay it back when you do get a job. But you need to go to court, and that's the problem, because when you lose a job, what's the last thing you can do, right? Hire a lawyer.
Sure.
But maybe that's something you do by yourself, and you just file, go into the clerk's office, see if you can have a clerk help you bring some motion or have some form filled out to stay child support.
But you don't recommend that route, obviously. If you can afford to figure out a way to get an attorney, then do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you have to use a credit card or take a loan from a relative, it's much better than being held in contempt. And then you might have to pay the legal fees of your ex in coming to court to enforce. So, you know, let's just say you're a guy and you lose your job. I would call the ex-wife and say, listen, I lost my job. I'm going to have trouble paying support. I'm going to try to do the best I can. Bear with me. I'm going to try to get a job. Meanwhile, you need to file in court to ask the judge to give you some relief.
Can a judge force you to liquidate property and adjust your lifestyle if you're not making payments? You know,
yes.
So they can.
Yeah, they can do it. They have great discretion in that, and especially if you get a judgment against somebody. It's just like a regular judgment. Let's just say a guy is owed child support in the amount of $100,000, which happens. I have a couple cases right now where I have the ex-spouse owing $100,000 or more, and, you know, you get a judgment, and you put a lien on the house, and you levy against the car, and you garnish wages, and you do all those things to collect as if it were a regular judgment.
Question number two, if I am stopped for suspicion of DUI, should I take the breathalyzer?
Almost always no if you've had anything to drink. If you had nothing to drink, I say maybe you should take it. But when you're drinking, you don't know. You're not the judge of whether or not you're intoxicated. And the only reason they're giving it to you is to get proof that you're drunk so they can convict you in court. So it's best to decline, but you need to know the rules about that, because by declining, you automatically lose your license for a period of time, even if it turns out that you're not DUI.
Do you automatically lose the license and it can't be, fixed in that regard? I mean, in other words, even if it's found that the breathalyzer was this, can you get your license back, or you're just going to be gone for 6 months?
It's just going to be gone for 6 months, and it's like a separate thing. It has nothing to do with your guilt or innocence.
Okay.
The idea is if you have a driver's license, as a privilege of having your driver's license, you consent to taking a breathalyzer, and if you don't do that, you lose that privilege for 6 months, regardless of whether or not you are DUI.
And Karen Conti answers these questions Sunday nights on her own program. One more before we let you go. If someone slips and falls at my place of business and I don't have an attorney to handle that, should I hire an attorney preemptively, even though the person that fell doesn't appear to have any interest in suing me yet?
I would say instead of calling a lawyer, you call your business liability insurance carrier. But you might want to wait until they make a claim. If you think a claim is going to be made, that's when you call your insurance carrier and you make a claim. That's what you have insurance for. And they provide an attorney, and they will provide, if there's a judgment or settlement, they'll pay it. A lot of people forget they have insurance. You know, that's what insurance is for. When you get in a car accident, when something happens at your home or your business, you probably have insurance for it.
Yeah, homeowners covers a lot of wacky things and doesn't cover things you think it would cover.
Exactly. No, and that's one of the things I'm going to cover on my show at some point, is what does the homeowner's policy or renter's policy cover that you may not know it covers?
That's a good idea.
What doesn't it cover? Yeah, that's a good topic.
312-WHAT for your number at the office?
My number at the office, 312-332-7800, or email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
What time Sunday night?
7 to 9.
Karen Conti Show. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Back with the news next on 720 WGN. It's a special Dr. Most.
Woke up after midnight. Both my arms and legs were sore.
And thanks as always to our friends at Northwestern Medicine. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, survived the commute. That's that's a positive. It's crazy out there. We're going
to
jump.
People need to be careful too. It's not just in your cars. You know, the sidewalks are just as bad. So be really careful walking to work or once you get out of your car. We've had many people in the emergency room already with broken arms. is from falls.
Is that right?
So, yep.
Well, where you are, in, I assume you're at the hospital this morning at Central DuPage Hospital, and that's one of the main iced up areas.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we want to talk about this, the fallout, I guess is the word for it, from this Dr. Nassar case and the big picture question of, you know, parents trusting that I can send my kid into a doctor. Now, I don't want to extend this into some sort of belief that you ought to be afraid of your doctor or your nurse, because that's not the case. But there is that awkward period of time where you go, well, is it okay to send my kid back there, and what's going on, and how involved should I be? So that's the question for you, Doc, and I appreciate you taking the extra time today to jump on and talk to us about it.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's that awkward age kind of thing often where, as a young boy, he doesn't want his mom in the exam room, possibly for a physical, or even a young girl may not want her mom or father. So, you know, it's really important there that we honor the respect of the child, but then also make sure that they feel comfortable. And I always tell parents, you know, if a parent is not going to stay in the room for an exam, I explain to them what the exam is going to be, and I explain to them in front of the parent and the patient. And two things happen there. One, it allows the parent, the patient, the child then to decide, oh, you know what, I do want my parent in the room. Mm-hmm. Two, it allows the parent to ask any questions. And then the other, probably bigger one, it sets guardrails. It sets the guardrails of what I am going to do in my exam. And if I vary from those guardrails, now the child knows it and the parent knows it. So fortunately, that doesn't happen, you know, 99.999% of the time. As a matter of fact, if we find something in the exam and we have to change it, we'll often stop the exam at that time and bring the parent back in.
Yeah, and any doctor that doesn't go through that basic protocol, I would guess you would encourage the parents to go, well, why didn't you say this or that, or why aren't we doing it this way?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, parents, you know, it's often they're in the waiting room, and they call the child's name, and the child goes, you know, I always tell parents, at least for the initial portion of it, go back there with the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on an age where they get very comfortable saying, hey, Mom, I'm fine. Believe me, I'm, you know, 17 years old, I'm fine. But go back there with that child those first few times, because the child is walking back into this uncertain position. Even though they feel like they want to do that without a parent there, I don't need a parent. Come on, leave me alone. That's still re-encouraging to the patient, and then also allows those questions to be asked, and the foundation of what is going to happen be set in front of both individuals. It allows them also to then talk after the exam to say, you know, oh, did he find anything out? You know, what did you, you know, and at least there's that conversation now of continued health between the parent and the child.
When we come back, I want to get Mary in here for another traffic update, but when we come back, address that whole age question, because kids mature at different ages.
Yep.
And it's not like you can say, okay, the child's now 14. That's when it's okay for them to go back. So let's talk about that in a second.
Yep.
More with Dr. Kevin Most.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dr. Kevin Most giving us some extra time today, and we appreciate it. What about that age question, Doc? I mean, is there any way to suggest an age? This is the age where it's okay for your kid to go back alone with a doc?
No, it's very difficult. You know, obviously, kids read puberty at different ages, but it's all kind of in that same time frame. I think one thing it is how well is your interaction with your child and how comfortable your child feels. And to be honest with you, some people are very healthy and never go to the doctor at all, and others are ill and they're very comfortable going to the doctor. But one thing I would say, too, if that child is going back alone, it's our responsibility as a doctor to also come out and talk to the parent and to say, tell me what concerns you have. Are you concerned with any social activity that he has, or lack of social activity? Do you see any signs of depression? Are you concerned about depression? Does he have friends that you are concerned about have drug abuse issues? Is there more peer pressure? We need to get all that, because it allows us then to open up the question with that individual in a private setting. You know, is there a chance he's being bullied? You know, we want to know those things, because often kids and adolescents will open up to doctors and tell them things that they wouldn't tell their parents. And it allows then us to not only coach them and highlight, and if it's something that we're very concerned about, obviously act on as well.
Well, that's the awkward position I guess you signed up for, right? Because if a kid opens up to you and says, here's what's going on, but don't tell my mom or my dad, you've got to make a decision on what's the best for the child, obviously, unless it's a clear legal question.
Correct. And sometimes we'll set very good guidelines for them and say, you know, okay, we will be partners on this.
Yeah, we'll talk to them together.
If this occurs, we need to. And these are some things that, you know what, as much as I don't want to tell your parents, it's really important that the three of us sit down or the four of us sit down and talk about this and talk about how we're going to deal with it. Nothing that a physician wants to see or hear is to, you know, the concern that an individual has been bullied or that they have signs of depression. You know, unfortunately, suicide is still is the number one cause of death in these kids. So it's something that we take very near and dear to our heart, that we are protecting that child, and they've given us that opportunity to protect them.
What do you say to parents who have reached a stage of a relationship with their teen son or daughter where it's sort of awkward for them and they don't feel comfortable going back into the examination room?
Yeah, and that happens a lot, to be honest with you. So having that conversation, at least taking a portion of that time to go out to the waiting room while the child is still in the exam room and just say, hey, just want to let you know, everything is fine. This is what I checked. Here's what my concerns are. Here's are some things that we're going to have to look for, and here's some things I want you to look for at home. You've still kept the child's confidence by not doing that right in front of the parent, but you've also have shared your concerns for someone who is, I'll say, an outside party, the parent being that outside party. So I think that holding information is sometimes important, but sharing information can save a life.
And in young adults too, Doc, I mean, it's always okay, you know, because I know you get to the age of maybe 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, you think, I can do it myself. This is, you know, I'm an adult now. The mindset anyway, you can always bring somebody into the room with you or say, you know, I want my mom, dad, brother, sister, somebody in there with me, correct?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you may want your brother in there instead of your mother. So, I mean, you can always have any physician that says, no, I do not want someone else in the exam room with me, that's a red flag. That is, we're done with this appointment. Thank you very much, and we're going to find a new doctor.
Yeah, that would be a huge cautionary thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so at that point, the authorities get involved. All right, now, here's the other piece, and we'll let you go on this. Some of these things seem obvious, but clearly they're not. Let's say you're a teenage girl and you're going in for a first gynecological exam.
Yep.
And there's no female nurse available at this particular practice. Do you reschedule?
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't even allow it. If we don't have a female nurse with us, we wouldn't allow that to happen. We would actually send them. Unfortunately, we never are in that position because we always have a female nurse with us. But if for some reason something were to happen, absolutely not. No exam by a male or female physician can be done without a female escort in the room outside of potentially the parent.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the same for a teenage boy on the opposite end, right? If there's an examination of a sensitive nature of a boy, and there's only a female doctor or nurse around, and that makes them uncomfortable, they deserve the same sort of consideration.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, the female boy, that is important as well. Testicular cancer, you know, one of the cancers that we're very concerned about at that young age, and we have to explain that to the parent and to the child before the exam so that they know what the exam is going to be and that, you know, we have not violated anything. So, you know, it's identification, communication, and making sure that the patient feels comfortable and that the guardrails have been set by the doctor and everyone understands what those are.
Last piece of advice, I suppose. What do you want to say to parents as far as questions they should ask you before you leave the appointment?
Yeah, I think, you know, doctors should always finish with, what questions do you have? Or share with me your questions, not do you have any questions? So, you know, parents should always want to know for the medical side of it, do we have any medical concerns? That's one part. The bigger part right now in adolescence, I have to be honest with you, is the social concerns. The concerns of societal peer pressure, whether it's bullying, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's signs of early depression, those are the ones that the parents need to be aware of and need to tell us anything that they might see, and ask us, tell me what I should be looking for. Tell me what I need. If my child is isolating, if they don't want to go to the football game and they always have gone to the football games, why is that? If we offer them to do something that they normally really enjoy and they decline it, why is that? Those early signs of depression have to be identified by parents because we can't identify them in an exam room often.
And there is no dumb questions, mom and dad. There are no dumb questions. And the same goes for any kids that might be listening. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. And if a doctor or nurse don't know the answer, they'll tell you.
Absolutely. And if you get a response from a doctor and he says it at a resident level, in other words, a medical student level, say, no, wait, doc, you know what? Can you bring that down a little bit to me, to mm-hmm. my level? Mm-hmm. Like talking to somebody about diabetes, we're not going to explain the cell metabolism of diabetes, but we will explain to them why we need to keep your blood sugar under control so that we don't have damage to your kidneys and, you know, and your extremities and so forth. So make sure that it's responsible information back to you that you understand. So don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to be ignorant if I say, well, I don't understand that. Could you tell? No, we want those questions to a point where you feel comfortable and you know what's going on with your health and the health of your child.
I hope that helps. As always, Doc, thank you for this.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. And as he said, be careful out there, kids, especially you guys in the South and West where all the ice is. We don't want you to fall. That's the advice today. My advice for you, my advice for you today is don't fall.
Don't fall.
Yes.
And don't drive.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. A toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Jordan Goodman standing by. Get ready to make note of some websites and some plugs and some things that you're going to need to know to save money for yourself.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
And Happy New Year. We have limited time today, so we're going to jump right in. Where would you like to focus?
Rising interest rates.
Interest rates.
Yeah,
what are they at now?
The long-term treasury, which not that long ago was about 2%, is up to about 2.7%, and I think it's on its way to 3%, which means that people with money in bonds and bond funds inside of 401k, mutual funds, regular bonds, they're losing money, and they're going to lose more, because as interest rates keep rising, you're going to lose more in principal than you're earning in interest.
So let's go to the...
people are not aware of that.
Let's go to the basics here. My company's got a 401k. I don't know if I'm in bonds or not. What do I do?
Well, you're going to look at the... it'll say bond fund or something like that. Mm-hmm. Treasuries, government securities, it'll say something like that. And you're losing money. I mean, as the interest rates keep rising, the value of the bonds goes down. And I'm just concerned a lot of people are in that situation, don't really know what to do. So that's on bonds. And then cash, CDs, money market funds, savings accounts, those remain pretty much near zero. I think they're going to stay that way. The Fed is going to raise rates probably another three times this year. But that means they're charging you more on credit cards, student loans, car loans, business loans, all those things. They're charging you more, but they're not paying you more on deposits, okay? So this is the conundrum for people who are not too wild about going to the stock market at all-time record highs here. And I'll tell you what I've been doing with my money recently in that situation. I'm doing what are called secured real estate income funds, where you get an 8% yield, but it doesn't fluctuate in value up or down. A website for that, securedrealestatefunds.com. Now, this is an SEC-approved, what's called a Regulation A-plus fund, which allows the average person to get in, $5,000 minimum, something like that, where in the past, like, you would have to be a $100 million pension fund or something like that. So it's all SEC-approved. They are lending money to real estate construction projects around the country. They get paid, whatever, 10% interest. You get 8%. And it's a widely diversified portfolio. So there's the solution for me to not lose money on bonds and not have my money sitting there earning zero in cash, basically.
Is this like a REIT or is it different?
It's not a REIT. See, REITs trade up and down. REITs own institutional real estate, like rental properties or office buildings or hospitals. But they trade. And as interest rates go up, REITs tend to go down because they're kind of like bond equivalents. So it's the secured real estate fund does not trade. It does not go up and down in value. The minimum hold is a year. So after a year, you can get your money whenever you like. So a REIT is publicly traded. You can get it or not whenever you like, but you can definitely take losses as well as have gains on it. And the yields are lower. REITs, 3, 4% yields, maybe 5%, something like that. But here's 8. So you're giving up some liquidity, but you're getting a much higher yield.
What's the website?
And you can either take it in monthly checks automatically into your checking account, or you can reinvest it. If you want your money compounding at 8%, that's a way to have your money, you know, grow that way. So again, if that helps any of your folks, I know they're slipping and sliding on the black ice out there.
Yeah, but
SecuredRealEstateFunds.com.
SecuredRealEstateFunds.com.
They got a phone number too, 888-444-2102.
All right, when we come back, I want to talk to you about cash. Cash sure. Money, homie. How much cash should we have? Is there a way to calculate that? Because what goes up must come down. And let's say the President of the United States is taken away in handcuffs at some point. Will Wall Street react to that? Because okay. In the real crazy world we live in, that's not the craziest thing I'll say
that's
all
correct.
Day.
That's correct.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
See, this is music. This is not like that jug band nonsense that you played at the top of the show. It's 7:52. The Steve Cochran Show continues. This is show number 1074, live from the Allstate Showcase Studios on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. 312-917-2200, your phone calls and your texts. And Jordan Goodman is with us. Jordan will answer your emails.
Absolutely.
At moneyanswers.com, by the way, including any questions on the Woodbridge Fund.
Sure.
And the whole fallout, rollout, whatever mess needs to be cleaned up of that. So if you have questions, it's way too long to get into here.
Correct.
But Jordan will answer your questions on that and anything else related to money at moneyanswers.com. All right, cash.
Yes.
Look, logic is and common sense are one thing, but we know for a fact that the market will not continue to go up at the exponential rates it's gone up in the last year. How much cash do we have on hand? Because I got a couple of $100.
Well, that's good. Hold on to that, Steve. But I mean, you don't want to do too much. I mean, people say 2-3 months worth of salary is a kind of an emergency reserve.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fine. But, I mean, I think the market's got a lot of momentum here. I really do. It's going to be up again today. Earnings are coming through. The tax reform is just every day we're getting more announcements. Yesterday, Walt Disney said they're paying bonuses to a huge number of employees, and AT&T and J.P. Morgan, and on it goes. So the money's actually getting into the real world. People thought the companies were only going to buy back stock and raise dividends. Some of them are doing that, but they're actually investing in their businesses and raising people's wages. So,
well, here's the crazy thing. If the Dow had a 10% correction today, it would be at 22,000.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, there's room for correction here.
Yeah, we have not had a 5% correction in several years, actually.
Yeah, and a 10% correction, which would be monumental and is mathematically impossible in a single day. But a 10% correction would still close at 22,000.
That's
so,
right. That's right. So
it's crazy.
You don't want to have too much cash because you earn nothing on cash.
Right.
As we said before, you know, CDs, money market funds, savings accounts, going to remain pretty much near zero. The banks can get away with it, so they do. So they're paying you nothing, and then they raise what they pay, what they charge you, which is why the bank stocks are going up so much, because their profit margins widen just by sitting there. It's kind of pathetic, actually.
Give us one other thing we ought to be looking at.
Mortgages, as we talked about, our interest rates going up. I think a lot of, I mentioned this 2 or 3 months ago, got a huge response. There are these special deals for heroes. Now, heroes are defined as fire, police, EMTs, doctors, nurses, anybody in the kind of helping professions,
and Andrea.
Teachers, clergy.
Yeah, and Andrea.
Yes, our traffic people. Yeah,
I want to marry them, too.
Yeah.
So there's a website called heroescomefirst.com where you can get something up to $4,000 off on points, on interest rates. And then if you're buying a home or selling a home, you get a rebate of some of the realtor's commission. It can literally be thousands of dollars if you qualify as a hero. So I'm going to qualify you, Steve. You are definitely the hero of Chicago.
Well, that
so
you, is,
yeah. You absolutely are.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Yeah. HeroesComeFirst.com. I know a lot of people were interested in that last time we spoke about that.
All right, we're long here, but Andrea.
Real quick, Jordan, will we ever see a day where you can put money in a savings account or a checking account again and it will earn more than
0.1% interest.
No.
Okay.
Not in our lifetime.
Remember as a kid, you'd open up a savings account.
Sure.
You'd get a stuffed animal.
How about your passbook savings account? You'd be all excited. You take your allowance to the bank.
So that's gone, right? So basically, it doesn't really behoove you to have a savings account at a bank.
People, the banks feel they can get away with it, and they can. So you know, people just sit there like a lump and take it.
Right.
You don't have to. I mean, I mentioned the secured real estate funds as a way of getting 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. The banks just don't feel any need to do so. Now, if you put all your money in Bitcoin, then you're going to do really, really well. You know, last time we were on, Bitcoin was approaching 20,000. Now it's about 10,000. So you got a 50% haircut in the last month. So that's where you get your excitement.
But you never had it to begin with. That's the thing.
True.
You know, very few people would have had Bitcoin at 2,000 and cashed out at 20. So so you know, your 20 went to 10, you're still up 8. So stop taking Tums and deal with it.
Exactly. I mean, you can go GBTC as a stock that does Bitcoin directly. Or you can open up a place called Coinbase, where you can actually buy and sell these things. Coinbase is adding 100,000 customers a day. Okay, that's how crazy
it is. It's so popular. The last time we talked about it, I tried to go to Coinbase, and they couldn't handle the web traffic.
Well, this is when you're adding 100,000 customers a day. It's a lot.
Right.
They're up to 13 million right now. And your NVIDIA is over 230.
Thank you.
I hope you've noticed.
Thank you. NVIDIA, I wouldn't even have known about it if it had not been for Jordan on this show who brought it up, and I hope you guys got in that day as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Much higher.
And my favorite money story of the day, and I was not aware of this, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates live less than a mile from each other.
That's right.
You think they run into each other like at the ice cream place and stuff?
At the
Whole Foods.
Actually, so my brother, whose name is Roger Goodman, is the House of Representatives for that district.
He is.
They're in his district in Kirkland, Redmond, Bellevue, that whole area of Washington. So he's got some pretty fancy constituents.
Yeah, I suppose when you get a call if you're a congressional aide, it says, yeah, Bezos is on the phone again. Do you pick it up? I suppose you do.
Probably.
Yeah, Gates wants
Post
to talk
chairman,
to you.
Think of it that way. Yes.
Yeah, how about that?
I always wondered if obviously they know each other, but if they didn't, you know, like celebrities and famous people who don't know each other but run into each other, is it like, hey, Steve, hey, Jordan,
The nod, even the clear guy nod.
Well, they're all on that Lake Washington place. There's one multi-million-dollar house after another there. So,
and the crazy thing?
Really, really well in this country.
Here's the crazy thing. Their property taxes are less than ours.
That's true.
Yeah, yes.
And they don't have income taxes in Washington.
And zero income tax.
I hope Chicago gets the new Amazon headquarters. What is your odds bet on that?
It's a long shot, but we're hopeful. We've got some
in the final 20 anyway.
We're 1 in 20. But I mean, it makes sense for a million different reasons. But there's so many political fights going on here. If I'm Bezos, I may go, why do I want a part of that? Now, I hope he does want a part of it because he's got air, land, and water here for transportation modes.
Right.
It's the center of the country. It's a vibrant population with one of the great technological hubs in the country.
Absolutely. And a very stable government. Yeah.
Well,
Jordan,
two out of three ain't
bad.
MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan, thank you.
I love to help your folks. I really do, Steve.
Appreciate that. And we're back after this with the news on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Channel 9, Dean Richards, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you today?
Oh, just fine. Basking in the Oscar
afterglow,
yeah.
You know what we haven't talked much about this morning? It's not necessarily show business, but it is celebrity related by a stretch, I suppose. Tammy Duckworth, the junior senator from Illinois, pregnant.
Yep.
And she is 50, 51?
50. She's going to be 51.
Are we changing biology to the point where that's going to become more of a common thing?
I don't know. I've seen more and more women having children later on in life, but it still does pose, you know, there are some health risks, as we know.
Yeah, and then her health risks are not necessarily worse because of her war injuries.
Correct.
Because that seemingly is unrelated, but at 50 or 51. But, Dean, I don't know if you know this. She will be the first female senator to ever give birth while in office.
Isn't that crazy?
Everett Dirksen didn't?
No, no. Nice. Nope, absolutely not.
But she did do in vitro fertilization. I mean,
yeah, but still, isn't it?
Well, she's still pregnant. I mean, she's
right.
still going to have...
just carrying it.
Yeah, the hard part.
Puts a burden. But
yeah, and guess, just, guess how many births in Congress there have been?
I don't know.
Ever.
I don't know.
In the history.
I don't
ten.
Know.
Ten
what?
Females have given birth while in office. Ten.
Not while in office.
Virtually.
She's the first person while in office in the Senate. Maybe in the House.
In Senate.
In the House.
Okay.
Yeah. These
in the Senate,
congressmen,
been virtually no female senator.
Yeah, I guess it's a
right.
volume thing.
Ten congresswomen.
Total.
Total. Isn't that crazy?
Well, we are the most developed country in the world. Just ask us. All right. Here's what's coming up.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, listen, we wish her nothing but health.
Very, very nice.
Dean will talk about reaction to the Oscars, yeah. And we thought Neil Diamond would be the only retirement to be announced this week. Another legend may be retired.
Maybe. It's not for sure, not for sure yet, but a pretty big name.
Yeah.
Pretty huge name.
It's like that jug band that Joe played earlier today. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles? Turtles for Trampling? What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
I love a good jug band.
Are you a big fan, Dean, of Trampled by Turtles?
I'm not familiar with that band, but I have long been a fan of the Darlins on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the whole Darlin family that came down from the hills.
And they would play, well, Paw.
You guys sound like you're out of breath when you do.
Oh, that's how you do the jug band.
Did you just do the fight for a long air climb?
Yeah.
This is advanced jug. Listen.
Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some too.
And the girl that
Let's
always...
go kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Now download
freestyle
the
jug
Apple.
Band. I love this
jug band. That's it.
It's like a mashup between you two.
And then there's Steve Wilkos news, which I've never said before. Never said that sentence before.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, actually. Is his show still on there?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, check that out with your best people during this break.
As you know, my television only gets Channel 9.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Well, Google
right.
it up then.
Google.
817.
Let's see. Google.
G-O-O-G-L-E.
Get
Google
off
it up.
My lawn. No.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
You know, Dean, the world is run by lists now. Everything's a list. A list for this, a list for that. Do you know the richest person in Illinois, Dean? Part of a list of the richest people in every state in America today?
Well, I would say Steve Cochran. If
Not
you're talking
correct.
About rich in humanitarianism.
That's true.
Love for others.
That's very,
I
very
thought that
true.
Was Paul Rennie.
That's true. It is Paul Rennie. I'm
that's,
second.
He's number one on the handsome list.
He's handsome, and he smells terrific.
He does smell
No, the richest man in Illinois, man or woman, is Ken Griffin, who founded and runs Citadel, a hedge fund. He is worth $8
billion. Wow.
$8 billion. And he bought I-88 a few minutes ago and is no longer allowing ice on it. That's how much money he has. Now, the richest man in Washington State, you would think it would be Bill Gates. It's Jeff Bezos.
Amazon.
Yeah. Can you imagine Bill Gates opens this list and goes, what? Yeah. I'm not even the richest guy in my state.
How much is Bezos worth if Gates doesn't make the
billion
top?
Dollars.
Wow. Gates?
Gates is only like 80, 82.
Ugh.
Yeah. Pauper. It's walking around.
Ne'er-do-well.
They lend money to Oprah. That's how much they have. All right. Let's do some Oscar highlights here from late night TV. You want to do Colbert?
Yeah.
How about a Stephen Colbert? And here he is right now.
Hi, Steve. I'm Stephen Colbert.
You got a little Colbert for me? Here's a little Stephen Colbert. Here he is.
Sorry.
Here he is, Stephen Colbert from last
These
night's
are the first Oscars in the wake of the Me Too movement, which means there will be some changes. For instance, the Oscar statue will now be fully clothed. But Jordan Peele is now going to be invited to a big party thrown by rich white people. I hope he's seen Get Out. He'll be up against Greta Gerwig, nominated for directing The Wonderful Lady Bird, only the fifth woman ever to earn that distinction. So Hollywood is watching to see whether she or Jordan Peele wins, because that will determine which group of Twitter users become enraged. And whichever ones you are, I'm on your side. I've had it. And it's a really big year for women. Meryl Streep was nominated for an Academy Award for her performance in The Post. Then she was nominated for a second Academy Award for acting surprised that she was nominated for the first one. Amazing. So convincing.
Colbert.
I believed it.
So, yeah, by the way, that was not actually Stephen Colbert.
Really?
No, that was Daniel Day-Lewis playing Stephen Colbert talking about
actor.
Meryl Streep.
He is a good actor. He is a darn good actor.
How about a little Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel, who is going to host the Oscars this year.
All right, here's Kimmel.
It is a special day here in Hollywood. Award season is in full bloom as nominations for the Academy Awards came out today. Nominees for Best Picture were The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Dunkirk, Get Out, The Phantom Thread, The Post, Call Me By Your Name, Lady Bird, Darkest Hour, and Boo to a Madea Halloween. You know, a lot of people didn't think that was going to make it. Miss Meryl Streep is nominated for the 21st time. Denzel Washington was nominated for his 9th Oscar. And I'm not even sure he was in a movie this year. That's how good he is. Kobe Bryant is now the tallest person ever nominated for animated short. He got nominated for his movie, short film, Dear Basketball, which could be the closest we get to seeing the Lakers win something this year. So I'm excited. I cannot wait to see which movie accidentally wins Best Picture. I really can't.
Funny,
the most nominations went to The Shape of Water, which racked up 13 nods, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Outstanding Achievement in Fish Penis Design. I'm glad The Shape of Water got so many nominations. I like that movie. And finally, Hollywood is recognizing a monster other than Harvey Weinstein. I think that's great.
Kimmel, very funny last night, and I want to point out that you were the first one to do the Boo to Madea yesterday.
You know, Kimmel is a lift from the best. You know, he's that way. How do you think he's going to do as the host?
I like Jimmy Kimmel.
I do, too.
I thought he did a good job last year, especially with the big faux pas at the end of the show.
I'm glad they asked him back.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be good.
We got a caller standing by who has some thoughts on me making fun of jug band music with you.
You were honoring it myself.
Johnny Bob Musgrave. All right, Johnny Bob.
I'll do that to you, Mr. Cochran. Second cousin to Pat Brady. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Are you second cousin to Pat Brady? Well,
actually third. Anybody south of I-80 is a hillbilly. He was born in Bloomington. Yeah.
Okay. And would you like to put Dean and I in some sort of organization, I understand?
Well, I'm afraid to open my door. I'm afraid Victory Auto Records, my door will fall off the Dean there, you know. So
car may be worth money, my friend.
Oh, Dean. I love it. All my cards are 20 years old. Good morning, guys. Keep up the good work.
So,
hey, we want to make you an honorary member of the Northern Illinois Bluegrass Association with that rendition of your...
Oh.
That is great.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, hold the line.
I'm a hard-carrying member.
Hold the line, Dean. Let's celebrate by doing this.
Thanks, Johnny.
We're going to be performing on the Oscars this year. We're going to be performing all the nominated songs jug band style this year.
I like Johnny Bob. Johnny Bob can call anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Johnny Bob, we like him.
Ken, you guys don't see the part where you sound a little out of breath.
No.
You just did this.
No. Speaking of great music, another legend may go down?
Yes, there is an actual countdown that's going on Elton John's website this morning. 3 hours and counting until a big press conference he's going to have. 3 hours, 1 minute, and 2 seconds until this press conference will take place where he is expected to announce his retirement, according to the BBC.
Don't tell Elton Jim, who works here. He works on your show sometimes, Dean?
He comes on my show.
He's going to die.
As much as I can tolerate it.
He comes on Dean's show and then awkwardly asks Dean if he wants to travel with him.
He has done that many times. He wants to be my plus one.
Oh, God.
Don't tell Elton Jim that Elton John might retire. That's pretty big.
That'll be the death.
It'd be heartbreaking. Yeah.
Unless you want to tell him.
Elton John's people are not responding to any questions about what this press conference is going to be about. They're just saying that it's going to happen when the countdown's over, which is 3 hours and some change. Elton John has had to cancel several shows this year because of illness, so we don't know if it's related to that. We don't.
Well, I hope not after the Neil Diamond news with Parkinson's disease.
Exactly, exactly. Elton John is supposed to be on the Grammys on Sunday doing a duet with Miley Cyrus.
Wow.
So maybe he's just retiring so he doesn't have to do that.
It's possible.
I would quit the business if I had to do that or swing on a wrecking ball.
Well, they say it comes in three, so Neil Diamond, Elton John both go down the third retirement, and I'd like to announce it right now. Dean and I and the Dean and Steve Jug Band is retiring today.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you're going solo?
I may. During the break, Steve, I pulled this up on the internet.
Hey, how about playing Never Hit Your Grandma with a Great Big Stick?
Oh, Dad, that makes me cry.
Well, how about Dooley? Oh, that's a good one. A one, a two, and away we go.
Yeah!
I don't know what's scarier.
We're bringing back the jug band genre.
I'm sure jug bands are so grateful for
Look
you
for
guys
us
doing
to
that.
Open the Grammys this year.
It's going to be great. Big surprise to the whole industry. All right, and is Steve Wilkos going to be okay?
Steve Wilkos was in a really bad car accident yesterday. He was, get this, especially on this traffic morning that we're having today, driving along, he reaches over to the passenger seat to grab his sunglasses. So what does that take, like 2 seconds to...
Sure.
Veer away off the road for a second. Smashes into several telephone poles. Car goes on its side. He's in the hospital. He's okay, but he's in the hospital for something as minor as just reaching over to put his sunglasses on.
Remember that Albert Brooks movie? Was it Defending Your Life? I think it may have been. The opening scene is he goes for a cassette in his car, and he runs head on into a bus, and he dies. When cassette players used to be in cars?
Cassette, Steve? Yeah.
That thing that came after an 8-track.
Remember we had cassettes and we thought, it doesn't get any better than this.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best.
All right, so Dean's solo jug band. I'm announcing my retirement. Dean's solo jug band.
You are not getting out of the band.
Well, I'll still write. I'll still write and maybe produce you. We'll take a break. Come back. Coach Q coming up, 720 WGN. .42. As always, we play the Who for Coach Q. We'll join us in just a second. And then I got to go over some of the big news stories of the day. The Russian investigation has picked up steam, and that's not just breathy news hype. It's actually fact. And I got to play a cut from Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who I like and has been on the show many times, but he's apparently lost his mind. There's developments. It's too long to get into here. We're standing by for Coach Q. Let me go to Joe Romano in the producer's booth. Sandberg is on the phone trying to connect with Coach Q now. Do we have Coach Q on the Coach Q plotter map, Joe? We have him. Did we shoot him with a tranquilizer dart so we'd be able to find him?
That's a good question. We did shoot, but I'm not sure that we hit the target.
Okay.
You know what I was going
to
say.
No, not at all. But we are looking for him. We hope to connect with him in just a second. The game is tonight when?
The game is tonight at 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. It's an original Sitch matchup tonight with the Hawks and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Hawks in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to Vegas. We'll be in Vegas with the Blackhawks.
You know when,
Hawks,
right?
And the Golden Knights. We're going to get there on the 12th.
Yes.
And then the game is the 13th.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back the 14th.
Yes. And you might be renewing the vows on the 14th.
I may be renewing the vows of some people.
Okay,
that's exactly
right.
You
got the dates right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks. Well, I'm a fast learner. And Justin Kaufman will appear on the Justin Kaufman Show pregame to pregame on the 13th.
Yes.
And Justin will be on with us after 9 this morning. We go to Coach Q now, again, sponsored by Hooters. Morning, Coach.
Morning.
I've got some, we call you some good hockey news. I have some good hockey news for you.
Go ahead.
The Hartford Whalers, your team, left Connecticut 20 years ago, but the state of Hartford is now doing specialized, customized Hartford Whalers license plates for all citizens.
I didn't know that.
How about that?
Hey, the whale still lives. It's amazing. You go through the airport there, and the whale memorabilia. It's still one of the bigger selling, jerseys and shirts. People, I don't know, the logo or something really caught on.
That is a cool logo.
The team, not bigger than the team when we were there.
Yeah, exactly. The green and blue insignia, they say it's the colors. They say it's the logo. $45 from the sale of each plate will benefit a new infusion at dialysis center as well at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. So the Hartford Whalers, gone now for 20 years, still helping people out. You should feel good about that.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, that's
we always had a thing with the team and with the Children's Hospital there as well. So it's a nice connection there and good memories there from the whale. All good.
Let me tell you, when you were playing for the Hartford Whalers, you lived in Hartford, did you see many whales in the street? Were whales prominent there? Never quite
not
understood.
Even on the water.
Yeah.
Not even on the water. But it used to be from the New England Whaler days, and that was that's how they got the name. So
yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so many questions on our Blackhawks. Start with Corey Crawford, because the concern was that he may miss the rest of the year, but that's not going to happen.
Looking forward to him getting on the ice here maybe by the end of the week here. So
that'd be great.
That's encouraging, and we'll get a better idea from there. So obviously Crow is a big part of our team, and was having one of those years that, wow, really made a difference to our club. And in his absence here, our goaltending's been holding up real well, and they don't give us a chance the other night as well, and but we didn't give him any support. So it's been tough here at home here. We want to make sure that we exit this homestand here on a positive note here tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Toronto's having a fine season, and it's going to be a test, but there's no better way to get back on track than to beat one of the best.
Well, they're having a little tough stretch themselves, but
overall
here with the same thing. So we're looking over, but overall, the Leafs got a couple of real top kids that are going to be top players in the game. Matthews is as good as any player in the league right now, so he's always got to be a concern. And they've got some guys that have some skill, and they play hard. They don't make it easy on you. Not a lot of room, not a lot of space. They've got a couple guys in the back end hurt. Hopefully, we got to spend some more time in the offensive zone, make it tougher on the opponent's goalies. We had some good opportunities last game, but not enough net presence and tighter looks or tougher looks for them trying to fight through pucks. And I think that's an area that if we want to get some production, we need some ugly goals, and that's a good place to start as well as our power play.
I thought the second period against Tampa Bay was one of the best 20-minute stretches of the year.
It was until they scored the shorty. I thought we did a lot of good things in that period, and had the puck and generated, didn't give up any zone time. Unfortunately, we didn't score, and you give up a shorthanded goal and you don't score on a 5-on-3. Those were significant turning points in the game.
What do you make of the power play?
Well, we haven't been changing it too many times here recently just to, to get something going here. We had one game all year where you can say, geez, it looks like it's going, and then we come home here and we didn't take advantage of that Ottawa game. So we're, we try different looks. We've tried different personnel, trying different movement. At the end of the day, I think we get our entries have been decent all year. A little bit too predictable, I think, in zone, a little too stationary. Let's get some more motion and movement, and still need that traffic. And, I just think that desperation on the power play, be excited about there, be comfortable making plays, want the puck. A lot of different things we say every day. Players' execution comes down to, let's be comfortable and let's be hungry in the scoring area.
Yeah, but did I hear you correctly saying maybe we've changed it too much?
Too much is, we've got a lot of personnel that are power play guy or capable of being on the power play. And it doesn't work. We've tried different guys, and it seems like, that looks like it's progress. And kind of like our team game this year, inconsistent. And, and then how long can you stay when you're not productive? And I think that's where we're at here at our home stand here today. And we'll make a couple of alterations, but it's not like we're blowing it all up. But
yeah.
It's personnel. You move one or two guys around, and we feel that change is it's always needed when it's not working.
Coach, in your estimation, how has Duclair fit into to your system and to things with the Blackhawks?
I like what he can do. I think that he came in, I liked him right off the bat. Gives us some speed. He's got some explosiveness. I thought he started well right off the bat, and I think that I think when he plays fast, I think he can help us. And I think he gives us another look of being dangerous on the rush. I think offensively, he's got some skill. I think he'd feel probably a lot more comfortable scoring a goal. And I think that's get him one. I think that'll help him as well with confidence in the tight areas. And but as a team, and recently here, we're a little light in the goal scoring. I think that that fits his game. And I find when goal scorers score, they can all of a sudden they can become different players. All of a sudden, they want the puck, and everything seems to develop off of that.
How's the captain look?
Captain's he's competitive as heck, and he's working hard, and we kind of like that line, and himself, they like to score, and I think that's part of it as well.
You know, as this rolls on, you have set us up in a way that we like, because all you guys have done is win. So you look at the reality of the situation; it's a very tough division. I think this morning you're still 3 games over .500. A lot of other divisions, you'd take that, but it's really tough in this division. But 3 games over .500 for this team with the play that you're talking about, with the inconsistencies and stuff, it just feels like, oh, what are these guys doing? By all accounts, by all measures, this has not been a bad season for most NHL cities, but we expect you guys to win every night, and frankly, that's not fair.
We don't mind the expectations, whether it's externally, internally. We have a pretty high standard of expectations when we started the year. And I think as we've gone along here, we feel that, if we have everybody playing to their capability or how they're projected or what their roles are, I think that having that more consistent and more predictable, we should be expecting more. And I think that's why, I think there's still a run in this here. We're going to need a big one soon. But we definitely put ourselves in a spot we haven't been before, and this is going to be a gigantic test for us all. And let's find ways. And I think that nothing simpler than trying to find one here tonight. And it's almost a baby step today.
Tell you what, whoever scores the most goals tonight, Hartford Whalers personalized plate signed by you.
All right.
I'll have it delivered. You manage your own Sharpie.
Then he gets to manage too.
Yeah, look what you did there. Hey, nice. Look what you did there. Coach, thanks as always. You're sponsored, I should say, by Hooters, America's Wing Joint. Great talking to you.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you later. Yep. That's Coach Q. Honestly.
Yeah, I like what he said there about the expectations. I mean, that's the sign of a team that, obviously does expect to win with the talent they have in that dressing room. It just hasn't all melded together with, for one reason or another, injuries are part of it, but... I still like the positive outlook on things.
Yeah, and the understanding that they got to get it going tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right. No time like the present.
And imagine trying to balance that off. You got nothing but winners of the oldest guys on the team. And the oldest guys. There's two old guys.
like
Keith and Seabrook, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Sharpie, I suppose.
And Sharpie, yeah.
A lot of kids. But everybody that's won on this team, whether it's one cup, two cups, three cups, imagine that frustration. Because they expect to win every night.
You know, it hasn't been brought up a lot. Well, at least, I haven't heard a lot of talk about it, but how much this team actually misses Marian Hossa?
Oh, totally.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable how much you think about the things that he did, not only on the ice, but also in the dressing room, especially with some of the younger players. It's noticeable.
Yeah, and I think there was an expectation that Saad was going to take up some of those mm-hmm. dirty minutes in the corner and in front of the net and stuff. And after that hat trick on the first game and that blowout against the Penguins, we haven't seen as much of that.
Right.
And I don't know that Saad is necessarily struggling any more than anybody else on the team, but it hasn't been an equivalent, right? Saad for Hossa, Hossa for Saad. It hasn't worked out that way.
I mean, you probably would have to think that both Saad and Anisimov would pick up some of that just because of the physical stature of the two guys. And, Anisimov missed a couple of weeks with an injury, and he's back for the first time the other night. So that changes the dynamic a little bit, too, of what he can do with the lines.
Yeah, and expect Saad at the age of 24, mm-hmm. younger than Artemi Panarin,
To be a leader like Hossa was is ridiculous. You can't expect him.
And he's not a vocal guy. I mean, he just never has been. I mean, he tries to lead by example on the ice, and you know what he does there kind of speaks for itself.
Got to have faith, kids.
Absolutely right.
I know I do. Puck drops early tonight.
7 o'clock.
Okay, let's get it done.
Leader in Chicago, gonna take my show, WGN to Nevada. The first time to visit in the city of sin since the day I became a granddaddy. There's a game between the Blackhawks and the new Golden Knights. I know we're going golfing when we land from our flights. The Cochrane temp is hot and the sun will be bright. Steve, Las Vegas. Steve, Las Vegas. Steve, Steve, Las Vegas.
And we welcome former Blackhawks winger Justin Kaufman to the studio.
I was on the early 2000 team, so we didn't do much.
No.
We had a really hard stretch there.
I didn't even know you were Canadian.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm British Canadian.
There's a difference. One of those.
British French Canadian. It's a triple.
Or as we call it, BFC.
BFC, right.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Steve.
Nice to see you, man. Thanks for being here. We'll talk about Justin's show in a second and how we're going to invade it.
Mm-hmm, we are.
Love it.
I got a 90-minute pregame run up to the pregame on the 13th before the Blackhawks play. The Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes.
Either the best or the second best team in the NHL, depending on the night.
Correct. I think they're second now after Tampa Bay beat the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
But you know, Blackhawks are going to beat them when we're there.
You can tell by the way she said that.
Yeah.
Blackhawks are going to beat them over there.
Grit. There's all grit.
Yeah.
My anger. My angst.
Here's what you do. You send us a snapshot of why you're the best and the biggest Blackhawks fan. And you do that, and we will upload it with all the other photos. Did we put all those up in one place?
Yeah, they're on WGNRadio.com.
That seems like a good place to put them.
Yep.
I assume they're also on Twitter. Put them up on Twitter. Put them up on Twitter.
Put them on
Twitter and Flickr and Friendster.
MySpace.
Yeah. LinkedIn.
At Twitter, or I should say at Cochrane Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochrane Show, and it's WGN Radio for our Twitter handle.
Yep.
Is that right?
At WGN Radio.
Yeah. And our Instagram?
Same.
Okay. Seems good.
It should be something like GN Radio 11223344
Pi.
Yeah. Just upload a photo showing your Blackhawks fan nuttiness to WGNRadio.com/contest. It's WGNRadio.com/contest, and you could win a trip with us to Vegas, the Golden Knights in Vegas. You got to enter by next Wednesday, January 31st. You know, we should possibly, I don't know if you know, Justin's got a huge Blackhawks tattoo.
I do. It's a lower back Blackhawks
really?
Tattoo.
It's a giant.
It's a little embarrassing.
It's bigger than just your lower back. It's a Zamboni.
Yeah.
He had a Zamboni tattoo.
Zamboni. And it was hip at the time.
It's interesting choice of something to
and
put.
And as I got older, it stretched. And so now, as I got taller, it stretched. So now it's really just, it was a lower back. Now it's just a straight up.
And it's fully interactive because what it does is it puts a thin layer of ice over his butt.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It keeps it cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It's like Ben Gay
for those hot days.
Right.
Noelle is standing by. Noelle has been one of the folks that entered. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning, Steve, and everybody.
I understand. Yeah. Now, I don't want you guys to worry. I've been told Noelle has already pulled to the side of the road to be safe.
Okay, good.
I am. I'm in a park in Naperville.
All right, so how slippery is it out there?
The skates are on the car. We're working our way in. my normal 45-minute drive is now, I'm an hour in, and I have another 30 minutes to go.
Yep. I feel your pain. I really do. It was an hour and 45 minutes from at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah. Not pretty.
All right. So I'm looking at the pictures you sent in, including a very cool. This is a Harley? Is this a hog?
It is. That was my old Harley. I just traded that in. And I bought a new one. I bought a 2017 Harley Davidson Road Glide Special in Blackhawks red.
Yeah, good for you, Noelle.
With a personalized plate with the Hawks logo that says Fear BH. Fear the Blackhawks.
Yep. Yeah.
Very
Fear
cool.
Fear the feathers, baby.
Very
Fear
cool.
Fear the feathers.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then Blackhawks baby, the blanket. Is this a blanket for your dog?
No, it's actually a onesie for a real baby, a human baby, and I put it on my dog.
Babies, dogs.
It's like a dog romper.
Well, my dog, her name is Chelsea Dogger.
Chelsea?
Oh.
Come on.
It's a plant.
Awesome.
No, Chelsea Dogger, and every time they play, we always bring her and dance her around.
So whenever the Blackhawks score, little Chelsea dances.
With my arm, yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous.
That's tremendous.
And we got some great pictures of you with Tommy Hawk as well.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a Tommy Hawk fanatic.
It looks like it. It looks like you and Tommy Hawk are a couple.
Yeah, we are. And whenever I run into Tommy, like somewhere random, like at a convention or at a game, he always grabs me because I have a pretty significant right front forearm tattoo of Tommy Hawk.
Oh, nice.
And he grabs me and he pushes up my sleeve of my jersey and drags me around the stadium pointing at it.
So, you know, there's a fine line between what you just described and an assault.
Hey, Tommy Hawk better change his ways.
Yeah, well, I'm an adult and not a child, so it's
yeah.
Okay. Oh, and then we try to go to games that are close, like if it's Minnesota, St. Louis, Nashville, we try to get there too. And I always find their mascots and harass them with my Tommy Hawk.
Wow, look at you.
We're a winner here.
I take on any mascot anywhere for a Blackhawk.
Well, the good news for you is you will be judged. And based on what we've seen so far, you are a strong candidate to be a winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm a huge fan. You know, I bought a new car at Christmas, and my car salesman knows me. He sold my car before. And I told him I didn't know what color I wanted. And he called me the next day, and he goes, I got it in Blackhawks red, just like your bike.
Wow.
Like, hang it in, I'm buying it.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of expendable income in this family.
I have a pinstriper who does hand-painted pinstriping. An older guy, great. He's going to pinstripe my red car with yellow, orange, and green details.
How about that?
It's all going to be Blackhawks in the summer.
Look at you.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Now, what do you do for a job?
I am a warranty manager for a trucking company in Oak Brook.
Okay.
On the corporate office level.
Great. Okay.
And, yeah, I already told them that they know I'm a Blackhawks fanatic. My office is all bobbleheads.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. See this?
Yeah.
And whenever upper management above me comes in with visitors or guests, they always stop in my office, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, I love your office!" I'm like, "No, I'm a really big fan." You know?
What's your favorite bobblehead?
I have Tommy Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Seabrook, and my favorite one actually sings the national anthem.
Oh, you have a bobblehead
like
that sings.
Animatronic, yeah.
Oh, nice. I do.
And it's autographed by our one faithful singer
Cornelius.
It's a Cornelius bobblehead, and he actually autographed.
Oh, he's a great guy.
It's one of my favorites. You know, players wise, I have every one that they gave away for the past 2 years, so I'm a little obsessive. I made sure that the tickets I bought for the game were bobblehead nights.
So I'm sure you love your family, but I can picture you and Tommy Hawk running away and getting a place in lovely Winnipeg or something, you know, in the summer.
I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, and Chelsea Dogger. Don't forget Chelsea.
Course. Oh, Chelsea's got
to
go.
Yeah.
Noelle, you're great. Hold on a second for us, and good luck. I hope you go to Vegas with us. How great is she?
She's amazing. Great.
Phenomenal.
The bike was the coolest, yeah. I thought.
I was going to say, a lot of expendable income, too.
Yeah.
Just buying a lot of cars and painting them red.
Mm-hmm.
Cars and bikes.
Well, plus these Harleys are not cheap.
Yeah. My question is, does the work maker cover up the tat?
Probably not. No, it sounds like she's the boss anyway.
Yeah. She sets the culture.
Exactly.
So if she stood next to you with her Tommy Hawk tattoo and your Zamboni tattoo.
My lower back tattoo.
Yeah.
When I wear my half shirts, you see it. But usually
your halters.
With my dress shirt, you don't see it as much.
Yeah. He usually goes belly shirt in the summertime.
I wonder if she'll skip out on the plane ride and just, go on the hog there.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
She could ride. You know what? Yeah. She could give one of us a ride.
That'd be awesome.
Well, but she's got Chelsea Dogger.
I could say that's sidecar, definitely, right?
Yeah, Chelsea Dogger's probably riding.
Sidecar, yeah.
Sidecar. What is this, Hogan's Heroes?
It is Hogan's Heroes.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
It's your friend Alistair. Alice Merton.
Love this.
I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
It's a
Dave Cochran, 926. It's Alice Merton and Single. That was last year, wasn't it?
No Roots, yeah.
Yeah. She's great. And you got to give her more credit because it is 2018. And for someone named Alice to be a rock star in 2018, I mean, that's not easy.
Go ask her.
Not easy.
Get it? See what I did there?
You did, yeah.
Go ask Alice.
That's why I ignored it.
okay.
Justin Kaufman's here. You and your fine producer, Pete, would start at what time normally to put the show together?
Probably around now, to be honest with you.
And then you see each other here. You talk on the phone.
Yeah, we
you FaceTime and you miss each other.
Yeah. We really do. The worst is when we start texting on the weekends. There'll be something going on and we'll be like watching a football game or something. And then you realize that we don't have any friends. It's just the two of us going back and forth.
Well, let me give you a little tip on what you might be talking about tonight. Apparently, the senator from Wisconsin has lost his mind. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin was speaking on Fox News, or as I like to call it, the Trump Channel. And he was referencing, to me, one of the great outrages. When historians look back at this period in time and giggle, mm-hmm. one of the things they really have to wonder is how you would take an institution like the FBI or the CIA or the National Intelligence Apparatus and trash it. The way it's been trashed. But now we're going off into cartoon land with a guy that I've had on many times, Ron Johnson. I like him. I like to have him on. But now he's gone and, well, he's fallen off the edge.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here. There's so much suspicion.
Let's stop there. A secret society, a secret meetings off-site of the Justice Department.
Correct.
And you have an informant saying that.
Yes.
Is there anything more about that?
No, we have to dig into it. This is not a distraction. Again, this is bias, potentially corruption at the highest levels of the FBI that is now investigating. And now this is, and by the way, Robert Mueller used to run the FBI. He is in no position to do an investigation over this kind of misconduct. So I think at this point in time, we probably should be looking at a special counsel to undertake this investigation. But Congress is going to have to continue to dig.
That's
obscene.
If you have to say this is not a distraction, it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. The FBI has levers in place to protect itself against corruption that goes on.
It's surprising that a politician,
it's more than surprising, it's outrageous.
That would say that a secret society exists only because that's essentially what politics is. Think about all the little committees inside and smoke-filled rooms and everything that they do on the side where Ron Johnson's been involved in meetings on the
and
side.
And he has
breakfast.
No
That's the secret
proof.
Society.
No proof. This is bad. Harry Reid stood up. I've mentioned this many times. Harry Reid, when he ran the Senate, stood up in the campaign during 2012 and said Mitt Romney didn't pay his taxes. I have absolute proof that he didn't pay his taxes. I have a great source who told me he didn't pay his taxes. Barack Obama's reelected. It's a year later. And he said, yeah, no, I made that up. On the floor
Way
of the Senate.
Too much of this. Yeah.
Ron Johnson and these Republican numbnuts are doing the same thing, whether it's in Congress and in the Senate. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. You have a responsibility to not treat the institutions that protect us the way they're being treated. It's outrageous.
I will say, not a good look to lose those texts. That's just not, mm-hmm. in this day and age, when it comes to transparency and everything should be done, it's just not a good look. But to say that the jump, what Senator Johnson's doing, to jump to complete conspiracy theory, it's actually the worst thing. It's the worst thing about politics.
He's making it up. Here's the thing with the emails. The emails disappearing. And this drives me nuts, too, because this is the whole fake news thing. You know the reason you know about Hillary Clinton's email problem? Is because media reported it.
Yep.
That's the only reason you know. These are the people you're accusing of making stuff up. You wouldn't even know that Hillary Clinton had an email problem if it wasn't for the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Washington Post, WGN, everybody else talking about it. So let's get that off the table. And then this bias that supposedly goes on. Everyone has bias. Bias exists. It's what you do with the bias. And Andrew McCabe was a decorated, well-regarded FBI employee forever. He rose to second in command. He wanted the job to run the FBI. He walked in and the president said, who'd you vote for?
Right.
He said, I didn't vote, which is the right answer because in the position he's in, he shouldn't vote.
Exactly.
And then Trump went sideways on him because Andrew McCabe's wife ran for a Democratic House seat in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Again, Your wife can be a Democrat. It doesn't mean you're then going to go out and try to shoot all Republicans. Right. It's an idiotic premise, The Fox viewers shouldn't buy into it. Mm-hmm. But the Fox network has lost its mind.
Right. It's maddening and it's frightening, too, that anything can be said now. You can bring up the term fake news, and then people have coined that and start listening to it and think it's actually a real term. Same with secret society. Come on.
Absolutely.
Can't just criticize our institutions.
Well, this is where it gets really dangerous because you water down the credibility of the FBI and the CIA, and the first three people that are going to be whining for protection the moment we'd be attacked would be guys and cowards like Ron Johnson or Harry Reid in the old days. Again, I don't care if you're Democrat. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Republican. You're an American.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Right. Jeff Sessions, by the way, apparently asked Christopher Wray to fire Andrew McCabe because Trump wanted him gone. For those of you who think this is some big conspiracy, understand this. Andrew McCabe, after it became clear he would not be considered to run the FBI, announced that he would retire. He will be gone in 2 to 3 months. So yes, why is there...
It's all grandstanding, yeah.
No, it's more than that. Why is there an urgency to get rid of him now?
Right, because he's on to something.
Yeah, because he's on to something.
He's going to talk, sure.
Because he's going to talk. That's the only reason you would have to get rid of him now. Yeah, otherwise, let the clock run out.
He did give the right answer, though, too. When he said, I didn't vote. You know, so don't get on the guy for not voting now.
Trump will be questioned presumably soon. And the understanding is, and this is all guesswork, but the understanding is if you talk to the president of the United States, you're done. The investigation has reached its completion, and then it's all up to writing a report.
That's so interesting. I wonder, Steve, if there is actual collusion, if it'll come out, or if this is just going to become an obstruction of justice case, which you saw that's why Jeff Sessions is interesting, because there was a lot that went into how much pressure is coming from the White House to
fire
Comey and things like that.
Collusion isn't a crime. So collusion gets thrown in all the time. Obstruction and conspiracy are the crimes. Right. And
that's serious stuff for FBI investigators, too.
Yeah, and collusion could be a tipping point to an impeachment. But an impeachment will only happen if Democrats control the House and the Senate, which isn't out of the question, the way the Republicans have comported themselves. But the Democrats have nothing to be proud of here. The way the Democrats have handled themselves is ridiculous. You don't sit around and watch the democracy melt because you're waiting for a political opportunity.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
And even with the shutdown stuff, you find yourself wondering why this continues, becomes the norm in Washington. I will be the first to say that I thought that the Trump movement of 2016 was more about the concept that what was happening in Washington was unacceptable to the American people. They brought in an outsider, a guy who could do a deal, and that we're no longer going to have shutdowns. We're no longer going to have this partisan politics, and it's just gotten worse.
Oh, it has gotten. It's gotten dramatically worse, and he has been the number one reason it's gotten worse.
Today, when would you ever hear the president use the word humiliated?
No.
He said that about Chuck Schumer. You should be a humiliating defeat.
Well, then calling
Who even says that? Who says it normally? When's the last time you used the word humiliating for any reason?
Unless I'm describing myself.
Speaking of a humiliating, Reuters reporting that CIA Director Pompeo has been interviewed as part of U.S. Special Counsel Mueller's Russia probe.
I don't doubt it. So he's running out of people to talk to.
Right.
You know, Pence and Trump are on the agenda. And Pence, of course, will want to be interviewed with Trump.
Yes, sir.
What he said?
No, he'll be interviewed with his wife. He's like, well, I can't have any meetings without my wife.
Without mother.
Without mother.
And remember, the whole DACA thing, we fixed this. We fixed this a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
$15 billion over 10 years at an average cost of $100,000 per border security agent. Means you could hire and place 15,000 brand new border guards every 300 yards for 700 miles.
And save how much money doing that?
$3 billion over 10 years. You would save $3 billion. You would have a human deployment every 300 yards for 700 miles. It's a job fair and it's a solution.
Right. And depending on who you hire, it could be a path to citizenship.
Yes.
For many of
wow,
these.
That's exactly right.
This. You guys are fixing the world here.
It's done.
Done.
Mic drop. More with Justin Kaufman coming up. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend. Feels like he's on top.
9:47, Bill and Wendy. Coming up at 10, Justin Kaufman's here. We got some very interesting, delightful people in the studio you're going to meet in just a second. Are you intimidated working with Anna DeVellantis?
I am.
She is a real...
It's the Anna DeVellantis show. I am. It's my job to essentially keep Rose's sound effects machine working.
Yeah. And plus, she's mean. A lot of people don't know that right about Anna.
Oh,
you know she
no. She's fantastic.
She's delightful. Is she like the nicest human?
She is.
Yeah.
She does a good show. They both do a good show. I'm moving and breaking...
I'm not a fan of Rose. You are?
I am. I'm moving a lot of Rose's stuff around just so when he comes in on Friday, he's confused.
Yeah, he's got a real sense of where things should be. By that, I mean a pencil... Played here,
right.
Various other things. Well, Justin, I'm glad you're here, and you can help me say hello to Pastor Chris Harris from Bright Star Church. How are you, Pastor?
I'm fantastic. How are you? And glad to be here with you.
And pleasure to have you here. And also, Mike Phillips from Cigna. Don't you have to be out bossing somebody and running a company or something?
I can do it remotely.
Oh, you can.
Thank you.
Cigna, obviously, you know, I've said this to cohorts of yours, like our friends over at Allstate. You guys get pitched on stuff to help people out all the time. There's a million causes you could get behind. What attracted you to Brightstar?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when we think about what our goal is in terms of thinking about health, and the way we think about it is multidimensional. So we think about someone's health, but also their well-being and their sense of security. And when we think about that, we don't think about it just for our clients. I have employees who live and work in these communities.
Sure.
And so for me, it was a call to action. And if you've ever met Pastor Harris, you'd know why I picked...
Right. You don't say no to Pastor Harris.
You do not say no.
Pastor Harris gets the meeting. You will be involved.
You do not say no.
You will be a partner.
I hope that's true.
Pastor, give everybody your background before Brightstar.
So I'm born and raised in the Bronzeville community, born and raised in Brightstar, that I now have the privilege to a pastor. And so the church is 60 years old, founded by Dr. James Stovall. Mm-hmm. And so this year we're celebrating that. And so about 9 years ago, we decided to take ministry outside of the four walls of the church, and we started Brightstar Community Outreach, BSCO. And it's been really, really exciting, providing anti-violence programming, mentorship, after-school programming, and so many other things, such as safe passage when kids are going to and from school. We have the adults that are out there on the streets to make sure that they are safe. The Family Advocacy Center through DCFS, where we go into the home and decrease risk factors and increase protective factors. So we're trying our best to make sure that we do our part at Brightstar to address this whole violence issue in Chicago.
Look, it's crucial, and I think, Justin, you can jump in on this, and Andre, you're out there covering it all the time. I think Bronzeville is one of the great turnaround stories in town by far.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's absolutely right. And so even though the community is changing, being a son of the soil of Bronzeville, mm-hmm. I've seen where it has come from and to where it is now.
Dude, you're getting a Culver's. It doesn't get any bigger than that.
Come on, man. You're absolutely right. You know, we're super excited really about the Culver's, and not to mention Mariano's, right?
Right, in the backyard.
So it's really, really exciting to see what's getting ready to happen over there. Nonetheless, we still have violence issues in Bronzeville and around the Chicagoland area.
What's really interesting, though, is you're talking about trauma.
Yep.
And this is something I've seen recently with CPS and the move to move the high schools around. But this idea that there needs to be more emphasis on trauma and what's happening with kids, because maybe they aren't victims of violence, but their friends are. They're the people around them. There's a real need for trauma assistance when it comes to the kids of Chicago who are affected by violence.
That's exactly right. And so when I went to Israel, I took a trip to Israel in December of 2012 and saw this place called Natal. And it's a trauma counseling place where those who live under the constant threat of violence and trauma, they go there to get their PTSD issues addressed. And so a light bulb goes off in my head. In Chicago, at that time, it was 1,142 people. Now, it's close to 3,700 people who have been murdered in Chicago alone since January of 2012, not including those who have been shot or wounded. And the question that I ask is, who did or does the trauma counseling for those families, whether it be the victim's family or the perpetrator's family? In most cases, nobody. And black and brown people specifically, not exclusively, don't really go to counseling for four reasons. We don't know the counselor. We mm-hmm. don't trust the counselor. We don't typically think we can afford the counselor. And then number four, the stigma. Nobody wants to be labeled crazy, but they still come to their faith institutions. They still go to their pastors and their clergy. And so I said, it would be awesome to identify, train, and certify faith leaders to provide trauma counseling based on this Israeli model. And we call it the Turn Center. And we're really, really excited about this. Mm-hmm. Work.
understandable.
And the Cigna Foundation has given a three-year, what is it, $450,000 grant now. So, I mean, that's remarkable. It's going to go for programs. Tell us what it's going to go for, too.
Sure. At the beginning of it really is for the helpline, to make sure that there's access when these faith leaders identify someone, that they have an opportunity to get them in the right place. You know, we look at violence as a comorbidity to lots of other things, and you think about how that impacts someone's idea of security in their life,
right?
It's overwhelming. So supporting the helpline and getting people to the right resources in order for them to receive the care is what the grant's all about.
It's a remarkable thing, and you thought Cigna just did a really cool thing with the TV doctors commercials. Oh, no. Which, by the way, is brilliant.
I love it.
But Pastor, God bless you and the work you're doing and the work you're doing in the community and the people. And trauma, in particular, addressing this is huge, because you can't go out and maximize your life until you take care of what's between your ears and what's in your heart.
That is exactly right. And I think it's really, really important that we thank institutions like Cigna, who say, we don't want to just
stepped
write
up.
A check.
Cigna's yeah. stepping up.
Yeah, they're not just writing a check. They're saying, we're bringing our experts in to help you guys to build the organization and strengthen it the more, to build our capacity, help us with the continuum of care and so many other things, as well as creating relationships with other institutions who say, we are not in Bronzeville, we're not in Chicago, but we want to be a part of this work. And they jumped sure. on with our other partners like Northwestern, University of Chicago, the United Way, the Federation, and so many others. So we're really excited about it. And people can learn more at our website at brightstarcommunityoutreach.com.
Mike Phillips, Cigna website, a good place to go to. I'm sure you'll link it up there too.
Sure, absolutely.
And Cigna.com?
www.cigna.com.
Yeah. Well, you guys come up with that on your own?
We did. Yeah. I actually influenced that.
Last word, Audrey.
It's a great model, I think, for building bridges between you and the community, and obviously very positive community reaction as well. Do you think others around the country, not just the state, will see this as a model going forward?
Absolutely. From the very beginning, our goal was to replicate this model, and we now have MOUs with the folks from Israel, really excited to go into 9 other states.
MOUs?
Yeah, MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding.
So yeah, you got to talk down to me, man.
Absolutely.
Come on, let's bring it down to my level.
Come on, I came to educate you, lift you up a bit. It's exciting, though, because other folks in other urban areas are saying, we need this model as well. But we said, hold off, let us test this model in Chicago, prove it out, and then we replicate from there.
I was talking to Mike Phillips from Cigna in the break, and we both said, when Pastor Chris Harris comes out of his shell, he's going to be just fine, don't you think?
I agree.
He starts
totally.
To loosen up, get yep. a little more confident.
Just keep talking, he'll keep going.
So, thank you, Cigna.
Yeah. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you very much, and thank you, Brightstar.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the great work. Listen this afternoon. Justin, what time are you on today?
3:00.
3:00 with Anna?
With Anna, yeah.
Yeah, and the regular
We're giving
Justin.
Away Billy Joel tickets.
Okay, that's enough of a plug.
that's all I get.
Come on, settle down. And the regular Justin Kaufman Show airs when?
7:00, 7 to 11 every right. night when the right. Blackhawks or Northwestern don't play.
And great podcasts, and check out everything online as well. All right, we'll take a break. And Bill and Wendy coming up.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
Bill and Wendy are here. You guys were in a room when Pastor Chris was here.
Yeah.
You listen to a guy like Pastor Chris, I don't know about you, but you start to think, wow, I suck.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
sure. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
We do that with Kid of the Week, too.
Yeah, Kid of the Week, you go, wow, I suck, and so do my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the purpose of that segment, isn't it? To make you realize you're just not a good person.
Yeah, but we don't do anything about it when we realize we suck.
Who can do something about
it's
it?
Too late for us.
You
know,
too late.
You could do
slippery.
Something about it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It takes a lot of work.
Don't want to do it.
You got to turn the TV and the internet off for 5 minutes and your radio.
No, thank you.
You guys want to plug anything?
Yes. Seika and Dane Neal, one of them is a former adult film star, and the answer may surprise you.
That's Dane Neal.
We don't want to say who.
No, it's Dane. It's definitely Dane.
Is it?
Yes.
Seika's our old friend from the loop.
Yes.
Our old friend from the loop, Seika.
Is she coming in live?
She
will
is not
be on
in
the
town.
Phone. She lives elsewhere now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But there have been other adult film stars in the news recently, so we want to get her take on that.
Yes. We want to see which presidents she's been with.
Millard Fillmore. James Henry Harrison.
Wouldn't it be great if Skilling had Stormy Daniels on tonight in a special?
That's a winter Stormy watch.
Well, I'd like to welcome Stormy.
My word.
See you tomorrow.
Not only my word. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.